For February the 27th, 2015, we talk about Valve's GDC rumors, Kick and Fennec, and we ask you, what's the deal with sports games? Welcome to the 95th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Guys, I'm full of piss and vinegar.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm not like angry
never,
or anything.
Never mix your piss and vinegar. It doesn't end well.
They taste probably about as satisfying as one another.
I like vinegar.
Your fries end up kind of weird, though.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, label your bottles properly. Also, if your piss looks like vinegar, well, depending on the kind of vinegar, either drink more or less water. Guys, this is probably T minus to piss. Pretty quick on this one. I'm sorry to our listeners for inadvertently creating that. No, I don't know what piss and vinegar means. What's that saying? It's full of vim and vigor, which is a lie. I'm actually very tired. I recorded 3 Abject Sufferings tonight.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, we record them in batches, man.
It's meta Abject Suffering.
Cranking it out.
Suffering about making it, whatever. Yeah.
Yep. So suffering while suffering. Yeah. What people don't know about that show is I record it while I just twist a thumb screw on. Yeah. I get one of those Craigslist mistress ladies. You know,
it's just, like true audiophiles can tell. There's just something about thumb screws that you can never fix in post.
Yeah, you know, they'll try and sell you some plugins, but yeah. it's not as good as that authentic analog thumb screw flavor. Yeah, so I don't have any foo-for-all to put at the beginning of this episode in terms of banter, so I assume piss and thumb screws will suffice. But we have a show for you today. Going to talk a little bit about sports games in the multiplayer, which is us extending outside of our comfort zone. For the touchdown, I feel like I'm over being over sports. Actually,
over being
so you're ready to be into sports. Though?
I don't know, like into sports, but not like as like a little sports ball. But we can discuss that in the multiplayer section, right? Yeah, we're all back under the same roof. Not the same roof. That'd be nice, but we've got the original gang together.
Yeah,
after a week or so.
Yeah, sorry for ducking out for a week.
Nah, it's fine. You gave me notice.
You kept me around. Oh, thanks. Thanks?
No, it's fine. You don't have to be sorry. We're happy. Did you listen to that? Okay, so last week's episode, we ran, really long. And at the beginning of it, before the recording, Ben was like, yeah, you know, without Dennis here, this is going to be really short because you, Cole and Dennis, you're the talkers. And we went really long. So I think we stepped
gabby.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that we are described as the talkers in a medium where that is literally your one verb.
Yes.
That is the one thing you can do here.
You can listen.
You had one job, Ben.
I would say listen.
And you did it very admirably, I understand. So
yeah.
No, it's downloaded and on my phone. I haven't gotten around to it yet because I'm catching up on some other stuff.
But yeah, that's fine. I understand.
I look forward to it. I always, yeah. Here, you give me a backhanded compliment. We didn't miss you. I'll give you guys the backhanded compliment of I'm always surprised by how much I like listening to The Level. So,
okay, I have to make it clear. What I said was, it wasn't we didn't miss you. It was, oh, you don't have to be sorry.
Ah, okay, good.
Okay, you don't have to be sorry. You gave me notice. It's cool.
Yeah, don't worry. I wasn't sorry.
Okay, cool. You were just making a show of it. Oh, well, the gloves are off then.
Yeah.
I think you're all very nice people, and I'm happy we do this show together. See? How's that?
Did you listen to the episode where Cole and Dennis just started screaming hate speech at each other? It was weird.
It was the last one.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. The last level.
the kill
bossy
screen.
Bossy fight, yeah.
It's a bossy fight?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's a sequel to Crossy Road.
Oh man, but we got the usual trifecta, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. Let's do it, guys.
The brief.
It's time for the brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the world around us as they relate to video games and whatnot. Dennis, I'm gonna ask you to go first because you were not here last
good
week.
I can steal Ben's, unless we talked about it last week. I forget when this came out.
Whooped.
Maybe unless Ben like super swooped me by talking about this last week. Oh. February 17th. What is today? I don't know. Anyway,
23rd.
Yeah,
it's the 24th.
So the last the last Guardians trademark expired.
Oh, we talked about that last week. Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
I swooped you.
Did you talk about the update where Sony is actually being like, oh crap, no, we still want it.
Yes, yeah. this is a multi swoop. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Ignore me then. Miss a week, miss a lot.
Yeah, I know, right? That's why you got to be caught up.
Yeah. Someone save me.
Yeah. So yeah, we did address that. Like Sony was all like, oh, that was a clerical error. Our bad. This game is totally still in development, which it's funny that forced them to have to acknowledge the game's existence. Okay, so Dennis, you asked me to save you. I'll go ahead and do mine. It's a little bit of a follow-up to some previous stories that we did about Harmonix possibly getting back into the Rock Band game, them doing these maneuverings, getting new songs on there, getting these surveys out, asking people, hey, you know, how would you feel about it? Very unsubtly, at least expressing interest at this. And it turns out that Activision might be thinking about getting the band back together too. Hey guys, do you think anybody who's written an article about this has used the term getting the band back together? I think I'm totally original by saying that stupid horseshit cliche thing I just said. Fuck you,
nailed
Cole.
It.
Just lick my finger. Yep, there we go. Yep, I just marked one up on what I assume is a hot skillet chalkboard. I never understood that gesture of licking your finger and then going as you add a tally, but okay. No, possibly as soon as this year, Activision may be putting out a new Guitar Hero game with new guitar peripherals, kind of more realistic art design, which I think can only help them, as opposed to having horrible Muppet monstrosities up there dancing around on the screen.
Hey, Lars Umlaut resents that.
Ugh. Yeah, I really don't like any of the character designs from Guitar Hero. They're real, real bad. But that's just my opinion. So this, of course, is, you know, kind of 4 years after their most recent one, The Warriors of Rock, which had Renegade on it. That was pretty good, but that's mm-hmm. pretty much just about it. So I'm not quite sure how to feel about this. This made me realize that if they put one out this winter, it will be the one decade anniversary of the Guitar Hero franchise.
Wow. Because
Guitar Hero 1 came out in 2005. Yeah.
Did Rock Band ever have a song creation mode?
No, they had like free play on the pro instruments, I believe. And they also had like the tutorial kind of stuff for the pro instruments as well. But they never had like Guitar Hero's suite of song creation stuff, which I know you took advantage of.
Yeah, that kind of got me into composing, if you can call it that. But it got me to actually play around with creating music for the first time. So I've got fond memories of Guitar Hero from that. But apart from that difference, I really don't see a reason for the two franchises to exist. There should just be one.
Yeah, it's going to be the same thing over again. They're going to oversaturate the market, and then we're not going to have any for a while.
Just need the dual Highlander style.
What do you mean?
Freaking katanas and long swords, last one standing.
But it's a music game, it's not a sword fighting game.
You have to decapitate your opponent with the guitar peripheral.
So you have to cut off their drum heads. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just pushing for more ritualized violence in the world.
I'm a little bit, I'm kind of, not put off, but just like a little bit less bullish on this ever since Rocksmith, which feels like, I mean, I understand they satisfy different niches, like, and you know, they're entirely different kind of demands, but like Rocksmith is such a good rhythm game that kind of completes the circle a little bit in terms of making actually learning music into a game, that it's kind of hard for me to be like, yeah, let's go back to this old way again, while still also being like really into like, you know, Rock Band and stuff.
Yeah, I was about to say, but you'd never, you know, bust out Rocksmith to play with your friends when they're hanging out. Yeah. Except we did that exact thing. So,
well, that one time when I was trying to show you how Rocksmith worked, right?
Yeah, we messed around with it, which was fun, but yeah. It doesn't have quite the same party game bent that right. Rock Band does.
So they satisfy different, you know, like different needs, but I think that like couch co-op and local multiplayer is just so out of the norm now that like you know, maybe Rock Band was kind of on the tail end of when people would actually get together to play games. But then again, the Wii U is a thing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, don't you think it's kind of having a renaissance? I feel like with it's at least a comeback. I feel like I see a lot of games now that are designed with couch co-op in mind,
like Towerfall and stuff like that. Yeah,
Towerfall. Yeah, Nidhogg. You know, any of the Super Smash Bros. Really games.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff out there that seems oriented towards couch co-op.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's just an age thing. Like, I feel like we don't do couch co-op much because we are adults who, you know.
It's quite easy to do couch co-op when you live in dorms next to one another.
Yeah, that's
right. Exactly.
That's true. I do have slightly more people or someone slightly more accessible to play with. Yeah. So that's maybe that's skewing my perspective.
Yeah.
Cole? No.
Yeah. Technically Cole and David, and yet we never take advantage of that, which is
a myth. Because I'm a recluse. that's the only thing. Man, oh man, like the soundtrack for Warriors of Rock is actually kind of okay now that I'm looking at it.
No, it's good. It's good. It's just too little, too late.
I'm sure they will put that on the box. Soundtrack? Yeah. Kind of okay.
Well, they have the full 2112 suite. They have Keep on Rocking in the Free World by Neil Young, which how did a Neil Young song get into a rhythm game? That's weird. There's some good stuff in here, I think. Oh yeah. And Free Ride by the Edgar Winter Group.
Yeah. They tried to go over the top on like what star power was, which wound up just being ridiculous. Like either you need star power to get through the song, in which case you're learning the game, or you're like crazy hardcore trying to get the most points, in which case you probably are a purist, or you just don't really care about star power. You want to have fun playing the song.
Yeah, Warriors of Rock also had that weird system where like in the story you were playing as the human version of these characters, you know, like Austin Tejas and Axel Steele, all these beloved characters, and like trying to usher them into a rock transformation into like a crazy monster version of themselves that could activate a superpower with the star power.
Yeah.
It was like Animorphs, but in Guitar Hero?
Kind of, yeah.
It was like dumb. So.
it was real, real dumb. Yeah. So yeah. I don't want to belabor that, but that's just kind of weird that the drums of drum games are can be heard in the distance. Yeah. Let's see here, David. You got a story?
Yeah. So apparently. Kanye has announced that he is going to be making a video game.
Cool.
He's apparently basing on a song, I believe it's Only One, about his deceased mother. And the plot line is that you start out with his mother arriving at the gates of heaven, and you have to guide her towards the light in order to, I guess... keep her in heaven. Otherwise, if you lose, she ends up in hell, which seems like that seems like something that maybe they didn't think through real far.
like what the failure condition is and what this does to Kanye's ghost mom.
Yeah, because I feel like if the premise of your game is guide spirit to heaven, that innately implies that the alternative has to be some sort of spirit ends up in hell.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be hell. She could, you know, be set to wander in a wind-blasted, you know, realm between realms and the cleft between realities, you know, being able to see the joy and love that others in the material plane can feel, but never quite being able to touch or influence it.
So basically hell?
Well, I mean, 6 of 1.
And by hell, you mean Interstellar?
Wait, is that the plot of Interstellar?
No.
Okay. I almost trapped you.
I just want to be in that review meeting. Like, okay, Kanye, we're gonna review some of the music mixing that we're doing for some of the dynamic stuff. Would really love your input on how we're doing the scoring, and then we need to review the animations for Your Mother Burning in Hell.
I mean, are these screams too high pitch or
I mean like good on him if it's what he wants to make, like, cool.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to the day when he will be able to interrupt Game of the Year award shows.
Yeah, at the VGAs. Yeah. Well, no, that would only be if Beyonce made a game and it got snubbed.
I'm going to let you finish this level, but yeah.
I'm going to let you finish him. But they bally's.
Yes.
So.
Oh, that caught me off guard. That was good. It's so obvious now that I've heard it, but like, oh, that's good.
Aren't they all?
And the best ones are obvious, but you'd never think of them on your own. Oh, that's good. Okay.
Do you think a better name would be Mortal Kanye or Kanye Combat?
Oh, well, they both have K's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like, so I forget. Last week, did I go on for way too long about why I don't like Kanye hate? Or was that something I made up? Or was that a conversation I had with people who wasn't up. You?
Or was it an abject suffering?
No, it wasn't an abject suffering. No, I just Ben, you and I, we were talking about the Beck thing, right?
Probably.
Yeah, okay. Well, people who listen to the show are like, these idiots, or more particularly, that idiot, the deep voice one who talks a lot, he can't remember what he spoke about a week ago. You guys don't know what my life is like.
Did you listen to that episode where Cole just berates himself?
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
So David, do you know if this is like what platform is this going to be? iOS?
Apparently it hasn't said yet.
Huh. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's bound to be fucking crazy, so I'll play it.
What if it's $10?
I don't know. That doesn't seem.
Oh wait, that's right. What is your threshold? $25.01.
Generally, if it's under $20,
okay.
It's not even that. It's not even that specific. It is my axiom is I could make 5 $20 purchases without thinking about it, but if you put a $100 purchase in front of me, I would agonize about it for a month.
Yeah,
which isn't to be like, oh, Cole spends his money, blah blah blah. But that is just the weird psychology of these thresholds that each individual person has.
Yeah,
yeah. Ben, how about you? You got a story?
Yeah, I got a little something. It's about Valve.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah, they announced that
Half-Life 3.
It's finally here, guys. No. They announced that at Game Developers Conference next month, they're going to unveil Steam Machine with a possible VR Oculus. Uh-huh. And then what the point of the story is. Yeah, games that have that as well, including things like Team Fortress, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit speculative at now. But right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought Steam Machines were already released, and it turned out they were just PCs.
I thought that, too. The article I read appears to say something differently.
So the idea is Valve put out the Steam Machine spec and provided Steam OS, or Steamos, for manufacturers to put into mass-produced Steam Machine trademark PCs. The Steam Machine that is rumored to be coming to GDC is one that Valve is officially manufacturing themselves. Their initial stance on Steam machines in the past was let other people kind of absorb some of the risk of manufacturing that. A, because the companies they're going to do that probably already have economies of scale for these parts, whereas mm-hmm. you know, Valve is not a hardware company,
mm-hmm.
right?
But apparently, not many people did that, so now they're making them themselves.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. This strikes me as like a how dumb do I think they are? We'll put it out and they'll be excited all over again for the same thing.
I think all they need to do is put out that controller. Like, I want that really bad. Yeah. Like,
well, sure. The controller. But how is a Steam machine made by Valve going to be different than anything else that's been on the market?
Probably not going to be that different at all.
Yeah.
But like, there's something to be said for the standardization,
right? Yeah, I think the big thing there's a market for is something that allows you to do PC gaming off the shelf for a reasonable price.
Yeah,
but that will never last more than like a year.
I don't know.
Well, I think the idea would be if there is one canonical Steam machine, that would force everyone to pretty much stay within those specs until the next Steam machine comes out, the same way it works for consoles.
Yeah. It's like PC consolation.
Yeah, which is fine, PC consolation. which is fine. I don't think it's going to go out of date as quickly as you think it will, Dennis, actually.
Because, well, you can play, like, if you're wanting to play the latest and greatest, I would say.
I suppose, yeah. But, like, that's not the majority of what comes out on PCs.
I mean, it's it's the same thing with consoles though too, right? You know, like if you're doing console versus PC, eventually, you know, PS4 is going to be outdated, or probably already is, but I mean, outdated by the top performing PC, you know what I mean? But you still play it for the next 5 to 10 years.
That's kind of the nice part of like games, you know, having their development led on console. David, just put that vein back into your forehead here for a second, is like, you know, when everything was PC and just like, let's push the envelope on it as much as possible, you know, because we can count on this fringe group of loonies having the most recent upgraded video card. You know, there's a little bit more of a give and take where, like, I feel pretty confident in the PC that I built last year because I built it to slightly exceed what the PS4 specs were. So like mm-hmm. games that I would want to play on like a console, they're probably going to run just fine on it for a good, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, something like that.
Right.
You know,
that's fair enough.
You know,
that's the core idea behind this.
Yeah. Which I don't know, so something that has the clout of the Steam name behind it, kind of seems wise, although. It does that name have any worth outside of people like us who know, you know, who are already inside that? I don't know that they're going to win a lot of new people into the PC gaming environment with that, because like I will talk with people at work and they'll say, oh, I want to play, you know, X, Y, or Z game. I'm like, okay, yeah, there's a new one that's like that. Just get it on Steam. Steam? What's Steam? Well, it's like, and then trying to explain Steam to somebody who hasn't used it before is really difficult.
Huh, that kind of surprises me, because like, it seems to me, I guess it seemed to me that Steam was one of the things that seemed very common, particularly for people that like otherwise were Wii players. I know a lot of like people that basically that's kind of their thing, is they're Nintendo fanboys and Steam.
I mean, that's an opinion that I've heard bandied about, which is this, you know, like this console generation, like right now, the best like way to go is to have a gaming PC and a Wii U. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know if like if there's any statistics to back that up. That just kind of seems
it's just a stereotype. Wii U are happiest. Yeah,
it's just a stereotype you formed.
yeah, like it very well could just be whatever.
Yeah. So I'm not that happy to see them breaking into their own proprietary version of VR, though. We talked about that before, right? Like just how that is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're saying they're going to make their own VR, not just things for Oculus?
That's my understanding.
Yeah, that... I don't know. I feel like unless they do the television thing where every television works the same way, just, you know, people, you know, can change their size and stuff like that, I don't see VR being something that could be broken up the way like consoles are.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I just want that controller. God damn it. I really do. Like, I've been waiting for it for what? Like 3 years? As long as this show's been around.
What game would you want to play on it?
Like anything. Like that's the idea, is like that the it can be mapped to games that otherwise would not have controller you know, input, right?
See, I'm not sure I exactly honestly see the advantage of it though, cuz it seems like a lot of the selling point was, you know, this will allow you to play games that normally you would need mouse and keyboard for. Mm-hmm. However, it's only going to work on PC, where you can play games that require mouse and keyboard by using a mouse and keyboard. Like, I feel like for it to matter to me, it would have to be, I can now play my PlayStation 4 with a controller that doesn't suck.
Well, it seems to me like it's aimed directly at somebody who wants to interact with their PC like me from their recliner, you know?
Okay.
Like, I like that, you know, my gaming PC is just plugged into my living room television, and I interact with it either through an Xbox 360 controller, which works fine for games that support it, or a, you know, wireless keyboard that has a touchpad on it that isn't that great. It's mostly to launch, you know, Steam or Netflix. You know? Sure.
Okay, I can see that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically it seems like they're trying to make the console open source, which is cool.
Yeah. I'm down. Yeah. So, I mean,
that,
like,
works so well for the Ouya.
The Ouya was built on false premises. Oh, yeah. Any other stories?
Do you have one?
I did the Guitar Hero one.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
I think the moral of this episode is that we don't remember anything we said more than 10 minutes ago.
David, how'd you begin?
Show is this?
How'd you begin that sentence?
I don't remember.
I think it's a good window to just how much this truly is just us hanging out and BSing together versus like any sort of, I mean, we're intentional about doing it, but yeah. But you know, this is not regimented by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay. If the past minute or so has disabused anybody of some kind of notion that we prepare anything for this, like if you thought that there was any kind of,
yeah,
if we just blew your mind with the admission that this is kind of just a like a roughly held together series of conversations, then please let me know.
It's a boilerplate podcast. Yeah.
A boilerplate podcast. What's that mean?
Yeah. It means it's not held together by hardly anything at all.
Yeah.
Multiplayer.
Now let's start with the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you respond to it. And as always, you came out in force. Dennis, what did you ask the nice people?
Yeah, I asked, I just for some reason had sports games on the mind, because we never talk about sports games. So just wanted to know, you know, what are good sports games? What makes them great? And if anyone actually goes through and actually buys the new one of a series every year.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Let's jump right in. Let's start off with Murph, who says NES ice hockey is the best. Fat guy is great for fighting, but thin guy is so fast.
So many layers of strategy.
I feel like that quote, I just need like up on my wall somewhere.
On my mantle place. Yeah.
Mantle place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those old just NES games that were a name of a sport are always really good.
I think I had a Game Boy version of this, although at that point it might have been skinned with you know, some NHL stuff, but it was so good.
Yeah. David, what's Geolaw say?
He says, NBA Street Volume 2. I have very little connection to sports, least of all basketball. But NBA Street is fun. You're able to do all these crazy tricks, and there is a risk-reward between scoring and building up your combo, because the more tricks you do, the more powerful you are. If you completely fill the combo bar, you can do a super combo, where all three of your dudes get involved in an alley-oop that scores extra because it looks so cool. I love that. It has a career that sends you to famous street courts across the nation. A custom character nicknamed after me, you got, or a custom character named after me, who got nicknamed the Regulator due to my mad blocking skills. There's also RPG elements, and there's a really satisfying skill progression. I've not played a sports game like it.
Yeah.
I feel like from that description, that seems like basically a sports game that some point in the development they are sitting around and planning, and some guy's like, dude, I just realized this is a video game. We can actually put, you know, gameplay elements. Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna step in on this because this is actually mine, because my brothers and I just went spent an entire summer just on this game, and I'll still get the theme song from it stuck in my head. It is an absolutely amazing game. I don't have any. Has anyone else played it?
Yeah, it's great. Like the whole Street series is fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like the logical progression of taking the most fun parts of NBA Jam. Mm-hmm. You know, to a console that could do 3D. Like, it's really good, like, fun arcade sports.
Was this the one where you could, like, wall run and stuff like that?
Yep.
Yeah, and I think they tried to do an NFL Street, but NFL just doesn't have that same moxie that that NBA has. Yep. I think there was also a FIFA Street, which I think might be more worth trying. I never branched out from NBA because just you don't need anything more than that. But yeah. This is great. The one really annoying thing about it is that it has a DJ announcer.
Yeah.
Who it sounds exactly like you would expect him to sound and is exactly as annoying as you would expect him to be.
Yeah. Like basketball is really well suited to it because of that kind of like hot dogging kind of, you know,
exactly. Yep.
You know, thing. Yeah. Works really well. Yeah. The NBA Street games are great. Ben, what's Phil say?
Phil says, Tecmo Super Bowl, no question. The best football game ever made. Aside from that, I've been very impressed with Sony's The Show series. Yeah. It's very solid baseball game. It's a very solid baseball game, which has a surprising amount of depth.
Yeah. Huh.
Is this associated with this real-world league, or is it kind of just a baseball simulator?
This is Sony's super realistic MLB game.
Yeah, okay. I think the full title is like MLB The Show. So yeah, it's licensed. Okay.
Yeah, like it's really cool because it's kind of like it's a low key example of like Sony's graphical benchmarking powerhouse kind of thing. Like each new The Show game is going to show you the newest thing they figured out they could do on their hardware. So it's interesting from a technical perspective.
Oh, cool.
But baseball games bore the shit out of me, so I can't actually play it.
It's hard enough to like go to a real one. Yeah. It's hard enough to play and pay attention the entire time.
I about said the dumbest.
Yeah, I feel like that's what I would need from a baseball game is somehow they would have to like, it would need the Star Trek replicator to make me beer.
Yeah, I about said that just the goddamn stupidest thing in the world, which is at least you can drink at a real baseball game. But you can drink, like you're in your own home. You can drink however much you want while you play it.
I gotta play my video game with a clear head.
Yeah. At least you can drink while playing the game or while watching the game and not be considered an alcoholic.
There. Yeah.
Saved it.
There we go. Yeah, Tecmo Super Bowl though. That's great. Deion Sanders. We'll show you how to make a hot dog up in here. Yeah. Deion Sanders in the early 90s did market a hot dog cooking device. Look up the commercial. It's fucking crazy.
Nice.
Yeah. Dennis, what's Alex say?
He says, I can't enjoy sports games without absurd unrealism. You will love NBA Street. But then he continues to suggest Mutant League. Yeah. Which I've not played, but I know there's a lot of affinity for.
Yeah, there's like, is there Mutant League hockey, or did I make that up? Am I pitching something that'll make me millions of dollars?
I have not heard of it.
Let's kick started.
Yep. Well, they tried that with the next Mutant League, and it failed, didn't it? Well,
you have to tear off a leg and use that as the hockey stick.
There is a Mutant League hockey.
There you go.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah, those are some Genesis-ass sports games. The Genesis was amazing for sports games. NHL 94? Nobody?
That might have been...
That sounds like a sports game.
What's that you said, Dennis?
I want to say NFL 94 or NHL 94 might have been the hockey game that I had on Game Boy. I just struck a chord. Or 92. Yeah. Or I don't know. 92 would have been too early.
94 had good fighting. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Tim says, I thought for a while that somebody should do a New Mutant League and throw it on Steam, call it Monster League. Isn't there like there's a tabletop like turn-based sports mutant game called Blood Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of
it's set in the Warhammer universe.
Oh, for some reason that kind of ruined it for me, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the Warhammer. Not a fan of the Warhammer. Because that one was so short, I'll pick up this next one. Danny Arendt writes that on Facebook saying, a bit strange, but I actually like the NASCAR games. Can't stand to watch the actual sport or anything like that, but there is something about the games that just draws me in. Maybe it's because they have all the exciting parts of the races without any of the other bits, or there is always the option of doing something that isn't cars going in circles with my time. It's probably because I find new and exciting ways to break the game to get ahead, while my friend, the gallant to my goofus, consistently falls behind in the single player game. Seeing the cars part like the Red Sea in front of me because of my consistent habit of destroying the opposition doesn't hurt much either. That's something cool about the NASCAR games. At least what I've read about them is that you get a reputation for the way that you drive. And like it throws the team mechanics and stuff in there. So what he's describing is actually something that can happen if you just, you know, on the first day establish you will rear end a motherfucker, then people might step.
NASCAR is just like prison. Yeah.
Yeah. People step.
I imagine those Venn diagrams are pretty tight.
It's a single circle.
I know. I guess I've never really played a racing game, but it's something I've been meaning to get into. But the thing I can't figure out is why has no one made a Burnout Paradise 2?
Yeah, that's a crime.
I mean, like in the Burnout universe, because that team went on to make like the Need for Speed Most Wanted, Hot Pursuit. Yeah, there we go. The new Need for Speed Hot Pursuits, and those are really good.
See, but my understanding was they were significantly different, like, that they didn't really use a lot of the same basic premise. They're like, you know, straight up open world, just screwing around.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was a really good game.
Yeah.
It was a great example of a developer. I turned into Porky Pig there. I'm sorry. It was a great example of a developer being very generous with their content.
Yeah.
I guess it interested me just kind of, I've always wanted to play it kind of as a object study of it's a game that is all the features I generally like in gaming. So like open world, you know, sandbox, that sort of thing that doesn't involve killing dudes, which is usually something that's fairly inherent to the games I like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think so what's funny.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say what I think was funny is there was actually outrage that you didn't see a body ejected through the windshield when you crashed in Burnout Paradise.
Really?
Yeah, maybe it's just because I cruised the forums for that game for a little bit, because I got really excited about it. But people were actually mad that there wasn't a driver in the cars that you could see get beat up when you crashed.
It's breaking my immersion.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just need to add, like, the Sniper Elite style. Like, Were there drivers once they added motorcycles? Because I feel like a motorcycle would look weird without a driver.
It's a ghost cycle.
Yeah, they had that. I don't know. I think they eventually introduced like a dune buggy, and I don't know if they had a driver in that.
I don't know. So. It just kind of seems like the people who would complain about that are missing the point.
Like, yes.
I need bloodshed in every single aspect of my existence. Otherwise, I don't feel like a person.
Yeah, this game's pretty good, but can you add some decapitations, please?
Yeah. David, what's David say?
David says, NFL Blitz, nothing beats suplexing a receiver to the ground. And then, Are we going to do
follow-ups? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
And then Mikhail follows up with that and says, gosh, I played that for my cumulative weeks in middle school. And my friends and I would have weekend tournaments all hopped up on Mountain Dew and Fritos pies. I know it's all arcade or whatever, but I think it sort of made me buy into some of the intensity and mind gamery that other people seem to get from Foot Egg. As an aside, I should say I've never played a game more difficult than NBA 2K14. I hadn't played a sports game in years and didn't realize they had evolved such an inscrutable and esoteric mechanical vocabulary. In the dozen or so hours I put into career mode, I never won a game.
Yeah, the 2K basketball games are the real deal.
I have to wonder, though, like, there's when you've got a type of game like that comes out every year, there's got to be a certain assumption made that you've learned the controls.
Yeah.
And because they're iterating on them so much, and like the big news is that one button press has changed. So I could see it being really hard to enter in.
Yeah. Yep. They're really good.
I mean, I would imagine it's fairly similar to like fighting games.
Yeah,
that's probably a good analogy.
NFL Blitz is great. I remember
I've seen it in every arcade and I've never actually played it.
Yeah, it's
what made it Blitz as opposed to like and something this year.
Yeah, so they sped it up. It was more arcadey, and like they had, you know, Midway style you know Mortal Kombat difficult moves that you could do, like special moves. They really played up the violence, right? I think they brought it down like third down instead of fourth down. They changed what it would take to actually, you know, get a down in order to, you know, speed things up and make it a little bit more frenetic. There was an anecdote that I heard. I forget if I'm swooping some podcast stuff here from another show I listened to, but the NFL got so squeamish about like, oh, we can't show players power bombing each other and still have the league license on this. So I guess they asked the developers to put every frame of animation onto a VHS tape and send it in before they could approve it. And I said, okay, yeah, let's do this. So imagine that.
So that was somebody's job.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. But those were fun. That series went off the rails when they went to like the PS2 because they turned it into Blitz the League, which made it into like working in substance abuse and like steroids and things. And this was like well after they lost the NFL license. So it was fake teams. And it's like, you know, are you going to use this to get ahead and, you know, intentionally like just breaking somebody's back on the other team in order to like, you know, take them out of the running for the rest of the year. Shit like that. It was real gross.
That's actually a kind of a cool mechanic.
It's like the last Boy Scout the game.
I'm not saying, you know, as more choices in video games go, that's actually not that bad.
Oh.
It's a unique take, let's say that.
Yeah. Oh, Dennis, what does Alan say?
Alan says, I don't really enjoy sports games because I gravitate more to games that have an easily discernible winning condition.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's a score, and it's usually near things. The top.
It's related to the things you do. I don't mean to throw heat at you,
Alan.
Yeah,
but then you play golf, and then I'm completely confused. I get the high score every time in golf. I understand what he's saying. Yeah, I mean,
the most I do is play multiplayer sometimes. On the other hand, my girlfriend has logged over 400 hours in the Football Manager series. Whoa.
Yep.
So there must be something for her in the sports micromanagement subgenre. And I think there's more ink spilled on that later on. So honestly, reading these responses has kind of made me wonder about this, the manager series of games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Football Manager is supposed to be like, you know, that's one of them that, you know, will periodically get Steam sales. And like, you know, if it's a vote on the next sale and Football Manager is one of the options, it always wins.
Well, and I've never talked to someone who has played that game who has like, yeah, I played it casually for a bit and then was done with it. It's like, yeah, I'm into 400, 500 hours.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I work with somebody who plays it religiously. I almost always see him on, and like even he, I'm looking at his Steam record right now, only has 155 hours logged in.
Lightweight.
Yeah. I mean, compared to some of the numbers that have been bandied about, like you know, he speaks really highly of it. He's also a soccer fan, so like,
yep.
Yeah. So we have to take his opinion with a grain of salt. That's what we're saying.
I mean, it informs the it informs the his affinity for it.
Yep.
Yeah, makes sense. Why don't we do a round of ours, Dennis? Did you have another one besides NBA?
The theme song, for some reason, the sports game theme songs are what stick out to me for NFL 2K or Madden 2K by Ludacris is amazing. And I like the game purely for that because that was a special part of my childhood.
Yeah.
That, which is really a sad commentary on my childhood.
Being rocked to sleep by Luda. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that segues into mine nicely. Like, yeah. I love the 2K5 games, both NHL and NBA. The NBA one was good too, but the NFL, like those were so those released at $20 a piece, and I was like, yeah, I might as well. And they were just really, really good football games and hockey games and basketball games. Just like, yeah, very accessible to like play with people. I don't know. Really solid. I'm kind of going to do a dark horse one here and say that the Fight Night games are really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like those a lot as you know, a good balance between boxing, sim, and arcade kind of thing. They were really, I like that control scheme a lot with a dual stick.
Is that where you kind of, it is to Virtua Fighter what Skate is to THPS?
I guess.
Just the movements that you do with the analog sticks kind of reflect much more one-to-one to the movements you're doing on screen.
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. David, well, you were
going to pop discuss last week, apparently do they not make the Fight Night series anymore?
They stopped after, like, they did three of them, and then one that had a non-standard name, and that was it. There hasn't been one for a good long while.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so those would be mine. Like, I thought, like, the generation before this previous one was a really good one for sports games. David, how about you?
I honestly can't say that I've ever played any sports game to anything even approaching, you know, significant time, you know, other than, like, maybe being at a party and that's what people are playing. Huh. I don't know. I think for me, like,
sports games.
Say that again.
I said peer pressured into sports games.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Dare tried to warn me, but no. I think just, you know, I usually either like more, you know, kind of longer form games or you know, games that are kind of story based. So sports usually doesn't work. Although I could maybe see something like the Football Manager, where it kind of, you know, my understanding is, you know, gets into some almost pseudo like RPG kind of, you know, management. Well,
it might as well be a Crusader
newsflash
game.
Football Manager involves management.
Yeah. But I think there's an assumed, like, I don't know how far those manager games get into like making up new players versus like trading existing players, but I could see something like that kind of assuming a familiarity with the game that I wouldn't be able to get into it with. Like, if I have to know which players are big and which players are not, and base my decisions based on that, it'd be kind of tough to do. Yeah.
See, luckily I am in a program where I am one of two American students, so I would just outsource the question to my classmates. Just crowdsource that management.
Crowdsource, don't say that. Please don't say that. Ben, how about you?
So I was trying to rack my brain for sports games that I played. I kind of agree with Alan's sentiment that, like, if your frame of reference is just a single game, like a hockey game or a football game or whatever, it is hard to tell a discernible winning condition. It's hard to tell one win apart from another. Does that make sense? Hmm. You know, so, like, if you know, you can beat a team by a whole bunch and you can beat a team by, like, 10, you know, like, a fewer number of points, and it doesn't really seem like there's a big difference, you know?
It's like the RNG was in your favor that time.
Yeah. Whereas, like, something like a management game, like, you have a kind of more long-term goals, like trying to win, get a perfect season or something like that. You know, like, so, like, there you can kind of have, like, a larger victory, I guess, instead of, like, these kind of short-term things. The only real games that I think I've played as far as sports games are Tony Hawk series, if you count those as sports games. And, sure. And then, yeah, and then similar to that, Dave Mira, which is Tony Hawk, but for bikes. So,
oh, I've played the Dave Mira games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. That's it.
Extreme sports. Sports are in the title.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing in the rule that says a dog can't ride a skateboard.
What about Pod Racer? Does that count as a sports game?
That totally doesn't count.
If we're going to count that, then pretty much any game is a sports game.
Yeah, like, I don't even know that I would count. So, like, NASCAR kind of counts, but, like, just a general racing game, I don't know that I would count that as a sports game.
Oh, I want to throw in some shout-outs, though. I forgot about this.
Big ups.
Cabela's, like, Hunter was a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh.
You would just break your legs hunting a deer.
Did you ever play any of them where it became a survival horror game?
Where the deer hunts you.
No, like, seriously, like, their most recent several have been, like, I think they call it, like, Dangerous Hunts, where it's all, like, you hunting, like, it's, like, one of them is basically recreating The Gray.
Okay, nice. No, I have not played those, but, yeah. I do just remember those games being very breakable, both your character's legs and the mechanics of the games.
How are you breaking his legs so frequently?
By jumping 5 feet. So,
like, out of a tree stand?
Falling out of the tree blind. Like.
So what happened when you broke your legs? Like, was it a blood spray?
You walk slowly, and it's harder to run and shoot deer, no scoping.
One would imagine, no scoping a deer.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Wait, so you break your leg, but you don't stop hunting?
Yeah, no, I'm not a coward or something.
You got it in your blood. By which you mean there's probably a lot of blood, and whatever's in the woods is in there is there in your blood. Yes.
There were actually cool mechanics, though. Like, you could pick your character's class. Like, you could be kind of like an old hunter, you know, who has a lot of patience, but little stamina, or you could be kind of like a
they gamify patience? Like, how do they put
I don't know. I know that was like a stat, but I don't know how that came into play.
Patience.
Maybe time passes quicker for you.
Yeah. Oh, that would actually be a really good way to do that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Huh. So I'll pick back up with, we have a couple more listener comments as we go along. Sam Bear writes in saying, the only semi-regular real-world sports games that I ever got into was NBA Hang Time because I was going to a boarding school for the summer and they had it on an arcade machine. And I discovered that it was a completely valid strategy to play as Shaq and dunk over and over, which, you know.
The Lakers figured that out too.
Yep. But don't put him in a free throw, am I right?
Oh my,
I don't know either. I know that is a joke that I've heard about Shaq's inability to free throw, which why anybody would give that man shit for any reason is beyond me.
Why? For your help.
Yeah.
Have they not seen Kazam?
He has powers. He has powers, my friend. No, not even like from an intimidating, like, he just seems like such a nice man. Like, why would you say anything bad about Shaq?
Have they seen Steel?
Have they listened to Shaq Diesel?
Isn't he remaking Shaq Fu?
I don't know if he is. I know that somebody is, and he may or may not be involved.
I think he gave his approval to it at least. So
he gave Shaq the
to
Shaq
be fair,
blessing.
Like, if someone was like, I want to make a game about you being awesome, why would you tell them no?
Yeah, I mean, he seems magnanimous enough to me. Like, yeah. Because Shaq be my dad. this is an ongoing thing across the network. Is a fanatical devotion to Shaq. The Shaq Fu count is a sports game. It is both basketball and martial arts.
I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't make me get on is martial arts a sport.
Can you evaluate Shaq Fu as a valid martial art? He throws sure. fireballs, but they're basketballs.
I'll allow it.
Ben, what does Will say?
Will says the only sports game I ever really got into was the football, in parentheses, soccer manager series, which has been running for over 10 years in some incarnation. I don't think he says the name of it, but anyway. Well, maybe I'll say
it's literally Football Manager.
Okay.
Is the name.
The game puts the player in the role of a head coach of a whole football organization with responsibilities of scouting, coaching, strategy formulation, buying players, and even being hired by international teams for worldwide competitions. The problem with the game, the problem with the game is that every year a complete toss-up regarding the dev team made a perfect game or a completely screwed up working product. I played the 2008 version until 2011 came out, which was the only good version since then. Then, since I've stopped playing, 2014 was the next good version. It can be frustrating to not be able to directly influence the game by playing as players, but it does create a lot of drama when you boost the squad's morale during halftime and squeeze through to win a major competition. The real players and manager negotiations also offer a cool experience. I know it's a niche product, but I've sunk well into 200 hours into this game, maybe even more.
Nice. Yeah. I love the idea of a mini game at halftime to like formulate an inspirational speech to make it like the Oblivion persuasion mini game, like gauging your team's affinity for being intimidated, for being encouraged, for being admired.
Or like Dragon Age romance options.
Actually, that'd be interesting with a group, because then you know, if each individual player has different things that inspire them, mm-hmm. You kind of have to balance like how heavily you rely on any one tactic.
Okay.
It's like the speech mechanic in Jade Empire, kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know. What's that like?
Yeah, basically, you have to win a debate against four judges. Basically, one of them actually pays attention to the content of your argument. The other one are each designed to prefer, was it ethos, pathos, and pesos? Logos. Or something?
Pesos.
That's right. That is something a judge could prefer, yeah.
All right, so I want to have a Kanye moment and say the best speech ever in a game is in Knights of the Old Republic 2, where you can say give either an inspirational speech to defend a base, or you can tell everyone that they are going to die and they have no hope at all.
I like the speech in Mass Effect 1, the hold the line speech. That's pretty good as far as video game speeches go. Another mini game would be to, or at least a mechanic that I hope that you can pull from every kid's sports movie, where the ragtag team of misfits, the slobs, and the slobs versus snobs mechanic, or dichotomy, that classic literary conflict. You have like it's the last play, and you have to do something really goofy that references something earlier on in the movie.
Yes.
But it is very much that, you know, again, there's nothing in the rules that says they can't, you know, put a blindfold on their quarterback to make sure he doesn't get nervous. Like, you know, but something like that. Like, I want to. So sports movies coach simulator is what I want it to be. I want to be like Rick Moranis from Little Giants. That's
right. Flap your arms like you're an angel.
Yep. Okay, pretend you're throwing this roll of toilet paper. That is a Little Giants deep cut.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
So, David, what's Christopher Schley?
Chris says, I've actually played the last couple NBA 2K whatever games, mostly because you can create a player, a version of myself that's like 2 feet taller, and live out my dreams of playing a sport professionally for skill points. It's fun. It's kind of like a sports RPG. Other than that, nothing but bases loaded and Arch Rivals on the NES.
Yeah, Arch Rivals is really good.
What kind of game is it?
Basketball.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, people like the sports games.
Yeah, like this is definitely covering, like I said earlier on, a blind spot for us. So.
Yeah, and good I realized I held my own in that conversation. Like I cited what made different games cool. Cole, you're doing okay.
Yeah, that's you know something about everything though.
Yeah. I had somebody say that about me at work today, and I don't know how to feel about it.
How could that be taken in any way other than a compliment?
I know it all.
So the only thing you don't know is how to feel about someone telling you that.
The only thing I don't know is how to take a compliment.
Cole, you had mentioned at the very beginning the idea of being over sports.
Uh-huh.
We said we were going to come to it here, so I didn't know if there was...
Oh, no, I think that there's saturation of complete disregard of sports, especially in, like, nerd commentary. Like, duh, sports ball. The men will throw and fight. Yes, hooray. Like, I'm not going to, you know, start religiously watching sports or whatever, but it's like, you know what? I'm cool. Everybody can have it. They're fine.
I like this is actually, so I'm going to reference XKCD, but don't freak out on me, all right?
Oh, no.
Yeah. But they made a very good point just about, you know, liking something makes you vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of being anti-liking someone or taking someone down for liking something is just a way to mask your own, I won't say necessarily a way to mask your own insecurities, but it gives you power.
Yeah.
Is I think the way they phrased it and kind of giving it through that, it's, you know, it's not necessarily feeling like, oh, I can't be part of this, so I have to hate it or anything like that. It's more a power play.
Yeah. You don't have to say what you like in order to dislike something.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Which, you know, gives you power. But anyway, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the other thing is, I don't know. I feel like there's kind of a thing where it's not relevant whether you like sports or not. I feel like I don't particularly like sports, but I can recognize that sports is important, mm-hmm. that it matters, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the just hatred of sports basically reveals ignorance.
Yeah. I learned this like a long time ago, and this is a life hack for any like nerd out there who feels above it all. Learning just the basics of what's going on with your local sports team makes a lot of conversations a lot easier. Like, you know, if you are going to be dealing with people who are not exactly like you, which I would encourage you to do, you know, it definitely helps to have at least a passing awareness, and the stories are pretty good too.
That's always a pitfall for me. Total tangent. Always a pitfall for me when I meet people who went to UC. Mm-hmm. Be like, oh, you went to UC? Yeah, okay, cool. Them Bearcats this year, huh? And like, yeah. Shit. What season is it? Are we them Bearcats good or them Bearcats bad?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is the good thing is we've kind of, at least on football, just kind of settled into doing good enough.
Yeah. We were thoroughly mediocre.
I was pretty happy that we were there for the 2009 season when they like did really good and almost got into the championships. Like that was pretty fun to be like a part of a winning franchise and like never be like, what the fuck is a Bearcat? Like that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
and I'm happy that Notre Dame has since done fairly poorly.
I went to one Bearcat football game, and that was when we played Rutgers in the fall of 2006. It was after the OSU Michigan game, which I watched. I was really drunk, and on the way back to the dorms, it's like, oh, there's a football game going on. We can just walk in because we're students. Went to the student section, like we won like a quarter later, and I charged the field, and it's like, okay, we're on the field now. I moved down here so I wouldn't be trampled. Now what do we do? Oh, we filter off in an orderly fashion. I don't know why we didn't just do that to start with. And so that was my one college football game experience.
Got that achievement.
Yep.
Yeah, charging the field is if you're going to do it there.
Yep.
Nice. Sorry. Bringing us back to video games.
Video games. So thank you, everybody, for responding to that. We are, again, continuously amazed by your insight and your willingness to answer our questions, which is tremendously appreciated. If you're listening and you would like to get in on this action, that is at facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. You can like us there and see this stuff as it goes out.
The grind.
Now it's time for the grind, where we talk about the games we've been playing over the past week or so. Dennis, much like in the grind, I'm going to volunteer, or in the brief rather, I'm going to volunteer you to go first because you were not here last time.
Would you say you're voluntelling me?
I am voluntordering you.
Yeah, so you guys, I have found a platformer that makes jumping feel fresh. I didn't think it was possible. I thought everything has been done.
Is this kid cool for the NES?
No. No, it is Kick and Fennec, which is the PlayStation Plus Vita game for February. Hmm. And so I came into this just, you know, I thought I'd check it out because I have it for free. And the way that jumping works, so early on, you know, you're a kid who wakes up from a cryosleep chamber. You're kind of running around a, what was the Journey to the West game? Was it just called Journey to the West?
Enslaved, Journey to the West.
Enslaved, there you go, yeah. Kind of enslaved-style dystopia where, you know, it's all crumbling buildings, but everything is still pretty bright and happy.
Yeah, it is a verdant apocalypse.
Yeah, and you trip across a high-powered assault rifle. Only
as the game tragically ends there.
No, but the charming thing is instead of using it for combat, it becomes like the world's best pogo stick. The recoil from the rifle throws you into the air, and so instead you can use it for combat at points, and it's the combat is very, very simple. But the majority of the game is about jumping around using the kickback of this rifle. And it can only, it's the world's smallest magazine. It can only have two rounds in the chamber at once, and then you have to reload it, which happens automatically the second you touch the ground. Yeah. But the way the jumping works is you use the touch screen of the Vita and just kind of pull your finger like you were snapping a rubber band.
Oh, like an Angry Birds kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like an Angry Birds thing. And you do that mid fall. So there's no jump button. You're always kind of using this to throw you into the air. Angry Birds is a very good reference for kind of how that feels. But think of it in a platforming context and think about being able to then use that same snap mechanic to change direction midair. Hmm. And it translates into really, really fun platforming that uses the touchscreen.
Nice. Hmm. Yeah. So it's Newton's third law of the game.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Only I'm almost certain that this is exaggerated. The amount of force that would have to be expelled from this gun to throw this kid that far into the air would destroy it.
Yeah,
I'm almost certain. But it makes
dislocate his shoulders.
Yeah, exactly. Like we'd kill this kid. It makes for some really fun puzzles. It's got a very gentle kind of ramp up of difficulty, but eventually it gets to the point where when you land, you're landing on kind of grind rails a la Ratchet and Clank that are propelling you forward through the level. So you kind of have to kind of go through a sequence of jumps in rapid succession and make decisions on the fly. And you just feel like a complete badass when you pull something off just the right way, especially if you can figure out a way to make the jump that you need while hitting an enemy at the same time. And that just feels really, really good. So yeah, like I said, I don't think it can be done without a touchscreen. You can do it with the right stick, but that just feels completely cumbersome and doesn't work well at all. So playing with the touchscreen is the way to go. I think you can get it on PS3, but don't do it that way.
So you wouldn't say that that having your thumb or your finger on the screen blocks what you're trying to do?
No, I've never had trouble with that at all.
Yeah, because like the reason that like that drag and snap mechanic works, I think, in Angry Birds is because it's always kind of stationary where you're at. Mm-hmm. And no matter where you kind of press and hold it, so do you have to press on the dude and then drag in the other direction?
No,
or is it relative?
Touch, okay. Yeah, wherever you touch on the screen, it'll just kind of assume that you've already touched the dude and dragged your finger to there. Okay. But inherently, that always means that your finger is kind of dragging away from what you need to be looking at.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of in a non-relevant position, unless you're trying to fire at an enemy, in which case it can get in the way a little bit, but it's pretty generous with... there are no shots that are too tricky in the game. The one thing that I have found is that if you're trying to like really max out how far you're jumping, you'll get to the bottom of the screen and your finger will kind of go off the screen. It'll fire you upwards. And I'm not sure if that always gets you the max power out of your jump. it feels like at least that the, that you, you know, if the screen were wider, you could drag a little bit farther before reaching the maximum range. But yeah, I don't know if they just always make it so that the edge of the screen equals max power, or if that's a problem. But it's a really, really fun game, and the mechanic really carries it for a while. Yeah.
Do you get the sense that you're like running up on the end?
Yeah, I'm. There's no story in the game. Literally, you wake up from cryo sleep. I don't. He might have just been asleep. Actually, I assumed it was some kind of. It was in a pod, so I assumed that it had some kind of stasis in it. But he wakes up. He trips over an assault rifle, and he finds a robot friend. And then that's it. You just get from the starting beacon to the end beacon.
So it's like Journey with an assault rifle.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, Journey with an assault rifle.
What the game was really lacking. Yeah,
I don't really understand. So it's got the obligatory like sidekick, like Ratchet and Clank, Jack and Daxter, Kick and Fennec. Only I'm not sure if Kick is the boy or the robot, or you know, vice versa. So that's not why you play this game. So it's first just some really solid platforming in a fresh way in a genre that I didn't really think could be fresh.
Nice.
Yeah. I also got, well, any questions on that? I don't, like I said, it's pretty simple. It just feels really good to play.
Yeah.
How long have you played it for so far?
So I started it probably a week and a half ago. Okay. And it's just nice. I can have it by my night or bedstand, night table.
Yeah.
Bedstand on my bedstand. Yeah. By my bed on my bedstand. There we go. English. I know how it works. but anyway, so you know, it's the levels are relatively short and self-contained. But I've been playing it pretty regularly. So I've gotten through 37 levels or so. It feels like I'm coming up on the end.
Nice. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's robust. It's not like a short game. Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
Cool. I also was gifted on Steam by the Steam username is Silencer, and I'm not sure who that is in our Facebook group or I hope it's someone who listens to the show. Otherwise, a complete random stranger gave me a game. But thank you, Silencer on Steam, gifted me Contraption Maker.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
A modern-day incredible machine. And so I've been messing around with that. I probably should have started on the medium puzzles, but the completionist in me would like forced myself to go through all the tutorial levels, yeah. Which I can really appreciate if someone was coming to it or how accessible this game is. Because if you go through the tutorial, it really does a good job. Each puzzle introduces some new element. And the way that it has you solve them, usually there is... two sides to the equation, if you will. There's like two levers that need to be pulled in order to solve the puzzle. And the left side kind of has everything in place, and the right side you just kind of need to vaguely mirror the left side with your parts to solve the puzzle. But that means everything is kind of solved for you. So I, again, did it to myself, but I went through those tutorial levels. It's very thorough, and then got into some of the easy puzzles where the solutions... They're still pretty on the page, but are a little bit more abstract. But Rube Goldberg machines are fun,
yeah.
And and physics puzzles are fun, and this game has both of those things in spades.
Like lots and lots of puzzles, almost too many.
Yeah, well, like I said, I didn't look at how many puzzles were in there, and I was like, oh, you know, I'll do the tutorial and just get my footing, and there's like 40 puzzles in the tutorial alone. So yeah, and then there's like user generated content out the wazoo. So this is a game you will not lack for stuff to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it harkened back to a simpler time. With the Incredible Machine, it's actually by the same team, I believe.
Yeah, same developer.
So that it's just good old fashioned fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with the Incredible Machine back when I was like in elementary school or whatever, and it was fun to dip back into this because in a lot of ways it's really relatively unchanged, or at least it's unchanged from my memory of those. Like, did you have experience with those games when you were younger, Dennis?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Got them out from the library and played them a lot. And it very much has the same vibe. The interface is kind of modernized. I don't know if that captures it right. You know, it's got a sleeker looking interface, but I would agree that, you know, it's not incredibly different from what was before. But it, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
I'm not sure. I don't remember well enough to say whether or not the physics are better. Mm-hmm. Because this does seem to have a little bit more in terms of stuff gets knocked around realistically, et cetera. I mean, but that might have been in the original.
It almost would have to be better. unless they kept it intentionally primitive, like for the purpose of simplicity. I can only imagine there's more that they can do with, you know, that is just trivial on today's processors that probably would have been, you know, rougher to try and approach earlier, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so that was a nice little surprise, and it's been a lot of fun to mess around with.
Yeah. Cool. Well, good on you, Silencer, whether or not you are somebody who is trying to butter Dennis up and lure him into a sense of complacency before you do something awful.
if I'm not here next week and I don't give a reason why, you'll know what happened.
It was the Silencer.
The silent sir. Yeah.
The silent sir.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben, how about you? Dennis, I just assumed that you were done.
Yeah, no, that is it.
Okay.
Obviously continuing to play XCOM, check out the Let's Play. But, you know, that's it.
Okay, yeah. Ben.
So I only got a little one this week. It's not as cool as it sounds, but I played The Order 1886, something like that.
Really?
I did.
You took the plunge.
I did not. So that's the thing, is I played it at a friend's house. So I only played it very briefly.
You beat it while you were waiting for a pizza.
Yeah, he was doing 6-minute abs in the other room and I finished it off. So I played just one mission of it. Basically, I wanted to see what it looked like. And it's kind of like any game where you can choose the chapter of it. I shouldn't say any game, but a game like The Last of Us or Gears of War, where you can definitely replay any part of it that you want to play. So I kind of played a mission right in the middle of it, one involving a Zeppelin. So if you've seen anything about the game, you probably know what I'm talking about. But yeah. So, I mean, it looks really impressive. Like, the transition between cutscenes and games is pretty seamless. So, like, you know, like, you're watching a cutscene and then you're like, oh, I can control this now. So that's pretty cool. The mission I played in particular kind of had some of the stealth elements to it, where there's some of the mechanics of it are sneaking up on people and stabbing them with a comically large blade. But, yeah, I mean, it was fine what I played. I don't know if I'm going to take the plunge or not. So, yeah.
Does that game have any sort of multiplayer? I've read so much hate on it, but I haven't heard anything about that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Nothing that I could see. I mean, and I think that's the common consensus with the reviews of the game is, like, it looks really pretty, and hopefully the second one's just as, you know, finishes whatever the story is that the first one started. But yeah, I think that's about it though. So, So just played a little bit of that. I don't really have answers, but are there any questions?
So it's a shooter, right?
Not that I can. Yeah. Yes. You get guns. The missions I played just did not have them.
Okay.
You only saw the stealth. Did you fight or sneak around any lichens, or was it just other humans?
Just humans. But you do fight lichens and the like. So, yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy about it, though.
I know. I hate my own sense of humor.
Sorry, this is the self-depreciating episode. So.
That's right. No, I mean, all I can say is that it looks really good. But... yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it'll... I'm probably going to wait until my friend beats it and then just borrow it from him. Yeah,
I was going to propose that. I didn't want to be shitty.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope there's no, like, you know, what is it, DRM or anything like that that would keep you from doing that. Sony kind of traded on that not being the case.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so if there is, then I can share play it, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. I have one more thing to talk about. And that is, but it's kind of tangentially related. I played XCOM, the board game.
All right.
Yeah. So I figured I could briefly mention that, but it was cool. I was the researcher.
Wait, is that the equivalent of being the banker? I forget.
No, that's the commander, I believe. Okay. So the cool thing about it is, even though it's a board game, it is surprisingly similar to the experience of playing XCOM, the game. Where odds seem to be very much against you, and it is basically, can you push back enough in time before everything falls apart? You know, like, can you push that momentum to swing in the other direction before the lose condition hits? So it was a lot of fun. But Dennis, I know you said you've played it. I think 2 weeks ago, maybe you talked about playing it together. Did any plans like that come into fruition?
Or no, was that... I done goofed. I got to invite these guys over to do it because I have played the game more just with two people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I almost want to say like the – so you just – did you play it at, like, just over at a friend's house or something like that?
Yeah.
So the chief scientist role is almost the least well-suited to new players because the real fun of that role comes from understanding what tech is available in the deck. It's kind of like a deck building thing, only your deck is fixed. But the real fun of that role comes in from knowing what's out there, what's possible to get versus what's in your hand, and trying to like cycle through and find the good cards, quote unquote, early in the game versus the risk of actually kind of getting, you know, the stuff that's in your hand researched. And also being able to kind of like, If the other people you're playing with are familiar with what's in your hand as well and the kind of perks that they can get, it can kind of start fights on, well, no, you can't research that this turn because I need this other thing that you've got in your hand, and kind of play everyone against each other. But the game is very much, like you said, designed around odds are against you, resources are scarce, and you're just not going to be able to give everyone what they want. And I feel like that's much more fun if you've got a good idea of kind of the whole breadth of what's out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, thankfully, we didn't have enough time to start arguments in the game because we had to do something else immediately. So
Yeah.
It's the only game that board game that I've played where there's like a timed mechanic where, you know, there's something immediate. So the game has like an app integration where one person will be the communications officer and they'll be directing everybody else based on what they see on the XCOM app so that they can have on either their phone or tablet or whatever. And one of the cool mechanics of it is if the aliens are orbiting Earth, it will mess with the communications that you get on the tablet. And so sometimes you can get things out of order or things can be obscured. So, yeah. So it just made me want to play XCOM, the game, but I didn't have time. So
did you play on normal or hard, where it actually enforces the time limit, or did you play on easy, where you know there's still the countdown timer, but you have an unlimited amount of pause?
We played on normal. We did the tutorial first, where it tells you like what to do, basically. But then after that, we just played with the time limit. So yeah,
cool.
Yep.
That's a great game. Yeah, so we'll have to maybe stay on the line after the episode and find a date where David and Cole can come over and check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down. Do you see yourself playing it again, Ben?
Probably, if given the opportunity, yeah.
Nice. You wouldn't set the game on fire if you saw it again.
Burn this game. Yeah, no.
Cool. Let's see here. David, how about you?
Sure. Well, I was stuck inside for Snowpocalypse all last week, so I decided to pick up Destiny.
Okay.
So I really, really like it. I really dig the kind of, I don't know, sort of, you know, chivalry, you know, kind of... you know, kind of, you know, pseudo Star Wars style, like high fantasy and space thing they're doing.
Yeah.
I really like the story they're trying to tell. Although, the way they tell the story, really leaves something to be desired. I realize this has been like the first thing everyone, you know, every review ever says about, but the voice acting in it is just really, really bad.
It's not far from Halo, I feel like. You know what I mean? In terms of presentation.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like the thing is, they can't quite decide. You know, they've kind of got this larger than life, over the top game, but they don't seem to want to really commit to like.
They don't want to show you the content of the game.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, it's like, I can understand, like, if you're making a game that's like, you know, real, like, deep and, like, you know, lots of, like, I don't know, shades of gray and, you know, real, you know, is really dealing with, you know, complicated issues, then you need to take an even-keeled approach. But this is, you know, basically a game about, you know, like, a adventure, you know, Knights of the Round Table in space type of thing. So you need to overact, you know. I mean, I think one of the big things is like, you know, one of the things that was, you know, kind of infamous in the beta is, you know, you get, you know, you meet this, you know, boss, you know, that's a evil wizard, and, you know, your little computer thing comments that, you know, That wizard comes from the moon.
Well, I mean, that was the meme, right? Like, that was
right.
A big
and
deal.
That actually is a line. Well, originally was a line, and they took the line out.
Oh, and people complained?
It's like, no. Huh?
And people complained?
No, they. I don't know if they've complained after, but when there was all the kerfluffle about it and people making fun of it, they took it out. It's like, no, fuck that. You don't do that. You say, yes, we have motherfucking wizards on the moon,
yeah.
And on Venus, there are dragons. You know,
our
next planet we're going to add in the expansion is going to be Pluto. What now, Neil deGrasse Tyson? Yeah. Like, I just, you know, there's a mission where you know, you're going after to destroy this like fabled sword of evil that has killed, you know, thousands of guardians before you, and you know, track it down by tracking, you know, the souls of those it has killed. It's like, it just kind of like tells you this casually. It's like, no, have the speaker give like a rousing 5-minute speech about how their souls must be avenged. And, you know, it's like, you're making a pulpy game. This is the one time when just completely, you know, overacting and, you know, making everything just this dumb action, you know, set piece would be entirely appropriate to the feel of the game.
But yeah. I mean, they seem to be, Bungie seems to be so adamant about approaching every aspect of what they do with earnestness. Like, just like entirely, like, overly self-serious, aside from, you know, the girls, run away, like, well, like, whatever. Like, it almost seems like they wouldn't want to, you know, be as self-aware as what you're asking them to do.
See, but I'm not necessarily saying be silly. I'm saying, you know, be serious about it, but be... You know, I want Braveheart style, you know, speeches, and
yeah.
you know, you can still be that sort of, you know, earnest, you know, kind of serious take on it while still being a, you know, a kick-ass, you know, story.
Like,
I think there's a difference between earnest and straight-faced, and
right.
that's what Bungie is failing to understand, or failing to capture at least.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying this should be like the Expendables, like that. Yeah, that could use some trouble. I do think there are some specifics, particularly like your little robot companion. It seems like they couldn't quite decide whether they wanted him to be like he's a robot and therefore, you know, mostly talks in like always, you know, calm, even tones, or like we want him to sometimes do some comedy relief. They kind of need to go one way or the other on him.
Make a decision. Yeah.
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 I mean, have you been playing I'm just going to ask a question about play here. Have you been playing this mostly as a single player experience, or, I mean, like actively grouping with people?
I've been playing single player. It kind of has a, from what I've seen, when you're playing the story mission single player, basically when you're in kind of the overworld in between, dungeons, it'll dynamically populate the world with other players. And then I can't tell for sure, but it seems like once you get to like whatever compound and, you know, start working your way down, it will then kind of it seems like it transfers you to your own instance, and then you won't see other people. Mm-hmm. I did play one of the strikes, which are kind of their approach to like World of Warcraft style dungeons. So it's, you know, three players, and that was kind of fun. I mean, none of us had mics, so it was basically us just, you know, running around, you know, killing things together. But it was a lot of fun, and, you know,
as it should be,
having kind of higher stakes, you know, tougher enemies, stuff like that was cool. It's also, I've not played before really multiplayer in a game that really did open world. So that was kind of cool, because like one of the more difficult boss fights, you know, takes place in this fairly open area. And so like one of our higher level guys, you know, had a pretty high quality sniper rifle. So he kind of set up in, you know, some ruins and, you know, was sniping for most of the battle, while, you know, my character is built for like, you know, close range combat, and I was actually engaging kind of effectively pseudo tanking. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a first person shooter, so you don't exactly tank, but, you know, some of that dynamic.
Yeah.
So the thing I really like about the gameplay, I think it's really, really strong, is it's sort of, you know, you have your grenades, and you have a grenade, a special ability, and a special melee that are all on timers, more or less. Mm-hmm. But they all end up effectively being kind of superpowers. Effectively, they're all spells. In particular, the grenades, like, there's one or two classes that get something that is recognizably a grenade, but a lot of them are just straight up, like, spell effects.
It does definitely feel cool, though, because, like, when you get a grenade, you're guaranteed, like, two kills with it, probably, you know? And that's more powerful. You know, that's a powerful thing in this game versus other games where it's just, you know, fodder or, you know...
Yeah, I agree. And that's the sort of thing. I feel like the downside of that approach is you don't get as much like the straight up tactical use of the grenade, where it's like, you know, oh, I see this guy's behind cover, so I'm going to like bounce it around the corner, because you're limited. But what I really like about it is all of your abilities more represent options. So, for example, my heavy weapon, you know, your heavy weapons, you very rarely get ammo for them. I use a rocket launcher. I can only carry, four rockets, and I might get a rocket like every other encounter, have some ammo drop. But basically what it is, you know, the ability to, you know, kill for just, you know, immediately kill any four enemies. And so a lot of it is, you know, you deciding what are the four enemies you want to take out without a fight.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, does a really good job of that, because even bosses generally will only be able to take one or two rocket hits. And it's the same way with the grenades and the melee and stuff like that. Melee. Melee? Melee? Melee.
One of the things I really liked about it was the inventory system, like the simplicity of the inventory system, where every weapon, even if it was no use of you, you could break it down into like weapon parts, and then everything had a common economy, and then you would use those weapon parts to upgrade other guns, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this is something that was kind of unfortunate in Borderlands is, you know, in something as fast-paced as a shooter, you don't really have time to deal with all this stuff that a lot of games, I guess by a lot of games, I mean Borderlands is the only other game in this genre.
Fallout has the same problem. Dragon Age has the same problem, too.
Okay, fair enough.
You literally get weighed down with the different things that you're carrying.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so it's good. One thing I will say is I feel like some of the negatives of it that do exist, I sort of feel like maybe this isn't fair, but sometimes the negatives in a game are the things you kind of that you end up like remembering and really kind of romanticizing and, you know, that sort of thing, you know, kind of like how I think of EverQuest.
Yeah.
And I really think this is going to be a game that's the same way.
Yeah.
Can you say what you're thinking of? Or
One of the big ones is I feel like there definitely is a weakness in the way they tell the story in terms of, you know, not being much of it. On the other hand, there's kind of an element, you know, kind of the flow of the story, as far as I am right now, is basically, you know, you get raised from the dead and, you know, you're a guardian, Harry. And now you're on the moon fighting moon wizards. Wait, there's a, you know, femme fatale on Venus. And, like, it's very much, you know, kind of has this sort of, you know, sort of dreamlike, you know, very fantasy feel to it. You know, all of the game kind of takes place on the part of the map that just says, here there be dragons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Huh.
But, Ben, did you play much of the multiplayer? Or, well, I mean, rather the Crucible, the PvP?
Yeah, I got to level 26, and that's when I checked out. So I would say I played it for like a good month or so.
Okay. Yeah, I played a little bit of it to kind of cheese up one of the characters to 15, so that I could start a secondary character as a as one of the second classes.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of like it. It's
The multiplayer is not bad. Yeah,
I felt like they did a good job of balancing all of your random powers. I like the fact that like you're building up your charge to using your special attack. That's basically a one hit kill with an area of effect. Yeah. That persists through death. So mm-hmm. you know, no matter how bad you're doing, you're basically insured to be able to do that ability probably twice, about maybe. Twice per map.
Yeah.
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 You know, stuff like that. I like the way ammo for any of your guns that isn't just your basic one is limited. Like, I feel like they did a really good job of balancing the mm-hmm. over-the-top things you can do.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, what class are you playing as?
I was initially playing as the Striker Titan.
Okay.
I just started, once I got to 15 on that, I just started a Blade Dancer, Hunter, to kind of see what that's like.
Yeah. Okay.
Part of it is just I really dislike the armor for the Titan class. I just... I don't know. I feel like it's basically the whole planning for the Titan class is some of our players are going to be pissed if they can't look like Master Chief.
No.
And so I feel like whereas the other two classes like have a very distinctly Destiny look to them, the Titan class could be any RPG with powered armor, or rather any sci-fi with powered armor.
Yeah. I see.
Although I do like the late game armor for the Titan gets into being like, what would straight up full plate armor look like if it was powered armor? And that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that was so between the two of us, I think we have all three classes because I played as a warlock. So
okay. Yeah. Nice. How did you like that? Because, you know, all of the classes, you know, seem like they have at least a bit of a spellcasty feel. But, you know, the warlock's, you know, kind of the wizard. How was that?
So their special ability is when you press, I think, R2L2, your player throws this giant, like, ball of energy, and it kind of creates, like, an area of effect that will, like, drain people's shield and health if they stay in it. But there was nothing more satisfying than, like, playing, like, an area control multiplayer game and then using that ability when, like, four of the other team members are trying to capture an area and just, like... Nice. Like, this area is on lockdown now. But I think the thing that's really nice about it is there's, like, an animation where it's, like, a maybe, like, 2-second prep animation for it where your character kind of floats in whatever direction they're moving in before he, like, nice. Throws it. So you can do some fun aerial maneuverabilities when you do that. So, yeah.
That's cool. I really like the hunter. One of its abilities is basically its special melee attack is a throwing knife, so okay. It's effectively a long range melee, and it's really satisfying because it's it's very much a you can now reach out and touch someone type of thing where it's a lot of fun and it to like drop one of the tougher enemy shields and then just nail them with a throwing knife it just feels right. That's definitely something they got in this game is a lot of the abilities feel the way they should. So
Dennis, you were about to say something.
Oh, I was going to say that we're on record on this show as liking attacks or weapons that have kind of alternate utility to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that in general, that is a good thing.
Something aside from just damage.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I like the hover idea.
Nice. Cool. Is that all about Destiny?
Yeah. I think that so far it's just, I think it's really good. I like a lot of the world building. I'm hoping they kind of expand that because there's some neat ideas there.
Cool. Well, do you mind if I start?
Yes, but you can never finish.
Okay, cool. So I have to do a couple things here. I have to admit that while I was listening to you guys, I was doing another thing. I bought a PS Vita.
Yeah! Woohoo!
Yeah, tax money, you know.
So I have Tearaway on a chip, not a disc or whatever. You know, whatever I have Tearaway to give you. So
oh, okay. Were you waiting for this day?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool.
That and I will force you to download Metrico in one way or another.
That's like what, $5?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So in the midst of doing that, so I can take advantage of these PS Plus games, right? Like pretty much for that and Danganronpa is why I did that. Because of my purchase history with this, the Game Books episode of Watch Out for Fireballs coming out, I have a whole bunch of Goosebumps recommendations. the majority of them being the Choose Your Adventure ones, which is the ones that I bought for that particular show. My eye was first drawn to Secret Agent Grandma.
Yes.
Which the cover features a three-eyed alien ripping off like a grandma costume, like a three-eyed alien like erupting from a grandma in the midst of like a what appears to be like a wading pool at a garden. In this story, with several possible endings, readers are cast in the role of a young person who must save the world's coolest grandma from her alien kidnappers. And here's a hack for Amazon that I discovered while I was buying these books. If you see something that is marked as a kid's review, like that is somebody who is too young, always read those.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yep. If you read this nice. Whole book, then you will realize you will never the real grandma. That is a 1-star review entitled Boring. This is a review from a customer. Granny is drooling alien now. What do you think of as your parents would say a nice little old lady? Which led me to another book called Danger Time. No. Which on the cover has a grandfather clock that's making an angry face.
Gotcha.
And there is a there is a review from a kid. Not very good. This book wasn't very good. A third grader could have written better than that. It wasn't even scary at all. It's too easy to read, and the ending is maddening because there were so many different endings.
If you're reading a choose your own adventure book, you don't want a single ending, right?
You're right. This is maddening. Where's the resolution? What should I consider canon for Danger Time 2? There's a 5-star review for Danger Time, which says, cool, exclamation mark. Again, from a kid. You shouldn't go to the clock store, but you still went in. The owner needs your help to get rid of the time police.
Now I want choose your own adventure reviews.
Yep. And then finally, a review.
If you want coherent, go to page 2.
It's just always kids review. Like every option is for a kids review.
There is no page 2.
And then finally, a review. It just skips it. Finally, a review for one of my favorites, Scream of the Evil Genie, from a kid. Liked it. This is Skelly's review, which you shouldn't name yourself kid. We have a little Skelly running around. I thought it was great because I like stuff about magic. The book was about an evil genie, which is why I like it. It contained magic, mystery, and adventure. Yeah. So I'm sorry to take us down that road, but...
That was delightful.
Yeah, so look out for it. Good.
Did you read Into the Jaws of Doom?
No, I did not. Was that one of those?
That was my favorite.
Was that a Goosebumps one?
Yep.
Okay. Huh. I've got one called It Came from the Internet, and I am yep, a book called It Came from the Internet. I'm entertaining the notion of doing a live reading of it on Twitch and having the audience choose along as we go.
That's fantastic.
So.
The thing that's kind of terrifying to me is I was really into these as a kid, so I think all of them you've mentioned...
At some point you've read?
Read, and like, for example, The Secret Agent Grandmother, like the little kids review. I remember the fact that no matter what you do, like, grandmother is always an evil alien.
Yeah.
Like, you never find the actual grandmother. I totally remember that. I can relate with that kid.
It was... It's so frustrating. They don't like, there's no persistent truth in this. It all changes with your choice, which is distinct from, you know, not having any choices at all. So I'm sorry. That may seem like I am killing time to avoid talking about a game. I did play a little bit of a game over this past week, which is Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright.
Oh yeah, I remember you mentioned that.
Yeah, yeah. So I've gotten through kind of like the prologue and that. And boy, oh boy, is that a Professor Layton game and a Phoenix Wright game.
How do the two sit with each other?
So I haven't gotten to the point where they have encountered each other just yet. It's off-putting how different their styles are, especially when you can tell a character belongs to one franchise or the other. Because like everything in Professor Layton kind of has this very simple kind of storybook kind of look to it, like not very complicated faces. Professor Layton himself looks like a fire hydrant that has a smiley face drawn on it with a top hat. You know, so it's it's a little bit weird to see those two like kind of mixing and matching. But I can't quite see how their conflicts will articulate just yet, but it's like, it's a cool story, like it's a story about witches, right? So it's in England, you know, Phoenix Wright is there to observe the English legal system. They're still maintaining the facade that he's from America, which he obviously isn't. It's cool that they bring Maya Faye back, his assistant from the first trilogy, which is kind of funny. I'm kind of curious to see if they're going to play into the fact that she actually is a witch who can channel spirits.
I feel like, is that admissible in court?
They use that. They use her testimony from the dead in order to solve some cases, at least in the original trilogy.
That paints a picture of a very terrifying legal system.
The legal system in Phoenix Wright is terrifying regardless.
Objection.
But there's not an awful lot that they're asking you to do that doesn't fit, outside the realm of what they ask you to do in the games. There's the investigation, when you're playing as, Professor Layton. You're solving little logic puzzles. When you're playing as Phoenix Wright, you're in the trials and you're trying to catch people in contradictions. What this brings up, though, I want the next Professor Layton game to be Professor Layton and the Barrel of Crackers.
what would that entail?
Well, no, he just goes into a cracker barrel and he has to solve all the brain teasers. A true gentleman is not an ignoramus. Luke, pray tell, why are these checkers massive and on a carpet in front of a fireplace? These nails, they are wrapped around each other inexplicably. Aha, but a true man knows how to solve the puzzle. How does this orange soda also taste like ice cream? I can keep going, you guys, if you want.
I'm kind of seeing how long this will go.
We didn't want to end our time tonight.
Yeah. It felt like it was about to hit stride, honestly.
Honestly, I think I peeked at Professor Layton in the Barrel of Crackers. Yeah, but it's neat. Like, it's been a long time since I dipped into the Professor Layton. Like, I played the first one, Professor Layton in the Curious Village, and then kind of dropped it for a while. They've been pumping them out, like, at a relatively intense kind of pace. But I like what Level 5 does. And this is looking to be pretty cool. So I don't know that I'm going to continue talking about it, because I know the Dual Destinies talk went on for a little bit too long. But I'm kind of into it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Neat.
I'll be interested to hear what you think when their worlds intersect.
What it's like when worlds collide.
You know what?
Yeah. What? You sound like you're about right, like you were fed up.
No, I got nothing.
Okay. Oh, you guys want to button it up?
Mm-hmm.
The credit. Thank you so much. That was level number 95, continuing the march to 100. I was looking at the projections here, and episode 100, if we don't miss any episodes, which is never a guarantee, is set to happen at the beginning of April.
Mm.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. So when I'm back from my Bloodborne binge is when that's going to happen. So yeah, let's see here. We're still taking ideas. At the usual channels. Good.
We could have an April Fool's 99.5 episode.
you laugh, but I think the Joystick Podcast did that.
Oh,
like in their run up to 100, they weren't comfortable calling any episode that would have been their 100th their 100th episode. So they did 99 and 1/4, 99 and
just
a half.
Spliced two episodes together.
Yep. They just cut off the episode one.
It's a two-parter, episode 99.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but there's the usual stuff. We got some nice reviews here recently. Let's pile that on. If you haven't reviewed us yet, those iTunes ratings and reviews do help us out. And subscribing to us in iTunes also helps us. I'm in the process of getting everything moved over to its own SoundCloud account, so I'll let you know when that all happens. Please be understanding if some old episodes show up in your feed, that is impossible to avoid. I've worked very hard in the past to try and stop that from happening, and it's just going to happen. So, whoops. But yeah, that is a time-consuming thing that will ultimately benefit us, but I'm only one man who is incredibly busy. Yeah. Am I missing anything, guys?
No, that sounds about right.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Oh, here. Go. To congratulate whoever is listening to the end, I have a copy of Frozen Synapse Prime on PC to give away.
Okay.
So hit me up on Twitter. I'll give my at name.
Please, we have to maintain some kind of order here.
Yeah.
Well, I would not do that to this podcast. I was going to say I'm going to give my at name in a second here.
Okay.
And but hit me up on Twitter and I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Say freeze my synapses.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So remember that. Tweet at Dennis freeze my synapses if you want a PC copy of Frozen Synapse. So yeah, I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I've been David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on the Twitter.
I've been Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Yeah. And until next time, you know, watch out for the silent sir.
Nice. They've been intentionally vague on exactly what's going to happen, so we'll see.
Trust falls through, of course.
Yeah. Oh yeah, trust falls are non-optional.
Yeah,
like you're going to be pushed over, which that kind of defeats the purpose of the trust fall, right? Because
yeah,
you're
mistrust falls.
Yeah, well, you're trying to maintain the balance. You trust the person who's going to catch you, but that fucker who pushed you, he's going to get her.